sons of bitches. Fine, fine, whatever.
You can beg them on the air if you want.
No, because I can't. Because, you see, if the opening theme hadn't started to roll, I was going to ask you, can I bag on him on the... I realize this is all very confusing to the people out there, but you'll just have to bear with me for like 30 seconds, because the show started... This is a Rick Emerson show. Blah, 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 blah. The show started, and Sarah and I were still talking about something. And we don't have time. We can't just turn off the mics and just... What, didn't we used to have music that we played just to fill?
I think so.
Well, whatever.
I bet I have some.
But let me just ask you this. We have to finish this conversation here. So let me ask you. So... Okay, so let me ask you this. If we can't talk about it on the air in connection with him, in other words, if I can't talk about it and identify who it is we're talking about.
Okay, that person that we were talking about.
Yes, okay. Yes. Okay, so if we can't talk about it, there's two separate things happening here. There's a thing we want to talk about, and then there's the person that it involves, right?
Right.
There's the thing I want to discuss, which you just told me about 3 minutes before the show, and I can't believe that I'm not allowed to talk about it. All right, so there's the thing, there's the subject.
You asked what I was doing. I told you what I was doing.
There's the topic, and then there's the person that it's about. Now, am I free to talk about the subject and the scenario as long as I don't identify the person?
Probably.
That sounds like a no to me.
Yeah,
that sounds
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Am I allowed to identify the person and the fact that there's this thing I can't talk about if I don't identify the thing?
I think the thing might be... Well, because the person isn't someone I know very well.
I'm trying to be respectful.
I don't know the person very well, so I don't really... I don't know, so I guess probably their situation would be more interesting than
me
there.
And I'm saying for the record that I'm respectful of boundaries and privacy.
This is all very vague.
Well, it's because I came in here... Here's what happened, and I will identify no one, and again, I want to be very clear about this. I'm not going to call anybody out on anything. I'm not going to identify anybody. I come in here like 90 seconds before the show. Just now, I walk into the studio. Like, you're just staring at the phone, right? You're just staring at the phone, waiting for it to ring. I walk into the studio like 90 seconds before the show. And Sarah's talking to somebody. And Sarah's talking to somebody, and I say, hey, that's interesting. Who are you talking to? Oh, so-and-so. Really, what about? Oh, about this fascinating, compelling thing that's really interesting that you could just make. You could spin hours and hours of radio gold out of. And I say, what? That's great. How about I talk about that?
You're, like, visibly flustered about this.
And Sarah says, no, but you can't talk about it. And I said, but wait a minute. I just walked in on you having a conversation with this person, and it sounded like the most fascinating, gripping thing ever. Can't I talk about it? I'll be, you know, just let me, it's perfect show material. No. No, you can't. No, the person would never give permission for you to talk about this on the air.
Well, because it's like a secondhand thing that I came across, because it's my friend's friends. No. I'm not supposed to be listening
to it. I understand
it.
How vague this all sounds, and so I'm not going to continue to wallow in it, because I know it's going to be frustrating for listeners who have no idea what I'm talking about. All I'm going to say is this. Understand that what I'm going through right now is that I walked in 90 seconds before the show. You can't, when I walk in the studio for the show, you can't be dangling a thing in front of me that you know would sound great on the air.
You can't make something this good up.
And then snatch it away and tell me I can't talk about it. So we have a fantastic show coming up nonetheless. All I'm saying is I wish that I'd come in the studio a few minutes later so I wouldn't have seen a glimmer of this fascinating topic that I'm not allowed to talk about, that I'm not allowed to mention. Whatever. We're going to pretend it didn't happen. It's 4 minutes and 42 seconds after the... Really? Already?
Yeah.
Damn. It's 4 minutes and 42 seconds after the hour 12, and this the month of March in the year of our Lord 2006. Live from the plushly appointed yet not overly ostentatious studios of Johnson 970, a proud part of the CBS radio family. This is the Rick Emerson Show. Thank you for coming by. All right, it is Thursday, and welcome to Day 12. Here's what's coming up later on today. Barfly Magazine's Jen Lane makes her triumphant return to the Rick Emerson Show. She'll be here in the 2 o'clock hour. And we haven't had... Jen Lane actually was on our final show before we got fired. Because Thursday is always her day. And we got fired on April 21st, 2005 from Entercom. It was last April. So Jen Lane was actually the last guest on the Rick Emerson Show, the Rick Emerson Show version 4.0. So she's actually going to be the first in-studio guest for Rick Emerson Show version 5.0. So Jen Lane's going to be up later on. We got an update. Remember we had the best story ever? I think it was Tuesday. Miss Death, Texas, hit by train and killed. For which I got many, many, many you are going to hell emails. We got an update on that today. We found out what she was doing when she was hit by the train. Whatever happened to all of the deaf people having all of the extra senses? Isn't that the whole thing you hear about deaf people? My senses have come alive. And apparently not. Or is that blind people? Maybe it's only blind people whose senses come alive.
Well, maybe it was an ultralight train like the Max.
It was a Japanese bullet train.
Yeah.
It was just sort of a swishing sound behind her and then a splat. We have a Geek Watch coming up today. Bush Watch. News on Axl Rose. And it's fantastic news as well. We got sort of an Axl and a half story. And we got one story all about Axl Rose. And then we got a story that involves some of the other guys who used to be in Guns N' Roses. We'll do an installment of stuff that happened while we were off the air. One from Sarah and one from myself. And all of that. Plus, today's top five. Top five worst songs I found in the box of crap that I took from Entercom when they unjustly and ill-advisedly fired us last April 21st, 2005. Not that I'm dwelling. So we'll talk about that later on. We've also got a little wing coming up later on. Your phone calls, emails, etc. It's Rick at RickEmerson.com. You can also phone if you like. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Ladies and gentlemen, Sarah X. Dillon is here manning the board, as always, keeping things flowing, dangling show topics in front of me right before I turn on the microphone and then forbidding me to talk about them.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
We'll have plenty of stuff to talk about
today. I'm not blaming you.
I didn't get to bring my bag, though, because I have to ride the bus to work.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
The giant plastic bag of crap that I had.
Oh, the firing bag.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have it. It's just chock full of stuff.
Why didn't you bicycle?
But it's pouring.
I bicycled.
You bicycled?
Freaking A, I bicycled.
Oh, I'm sorry. Did you yesterday?
No.
Yeah, I did.
I bicycled, and not only that, because CBS Radio here is set up and said there's three different CBS Radio buildings. There's this building. We are in the coin tower. And there's a couple, and what is it, K-Hits? Is that what it is?
Yeah.
K-Hits and us. And then on first, there's KUFO and...
Mix 107.5.
Yes, Mix 107.5. And then there's Kink. And the Kink are sort of like, they're like this pirate island. They're just by themselves. They're having some building by themselves. But there's three different buildings. So I had a meeting in First Avenue. So I had the bicycle here, then to First, then back here.
Aren't we on Second?
That's what I'm talking about. No. Well, yeah, but it's uphill. There's a bit of an incline. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for you today.
There's been a deadly shooting at a respectable California beach community Denny's. Slobodan Milosevic's body becomes a museum piece in his native land. Teenagers finding new imaginative ways to kill themselves. And yes, we have startling new developments in the train killing of the Miss Death, Texas.
Fantastic. So that is, that's all on the way. And tomorrow I may have a chair. Now, she's speaking of being forbidden to talk about things. So a woman emailed in. I shouldn't give her name. It's just like, don't. She's basically stealing something. It's a woman stealing something from her office and giving it to me, which is a rightful display of priorities. A woman is going to steal a chair, and as she described it, she said the chair sits dusty, unused in a corner because it's too tall for anybody to use. The chair is so tall, no one can use it. She said the only guy who ever used the chair was a guy who was over 7 feet tall, and he died or something, so he hadn't been there forever. There's a big, big-ass chair that just sits there. So tonight, in sort of a deep throat Hal Holbrook parking garage kind of a thing, I'm going to meet the woman tonight, and she's going to give me the secret signal, and then she's going to give me, she's stealing the chair from her office, and she's going to give it to me tonight, and it'll be here tomorrow. So I don't have to stand anymore. So the chair will be taken care of. All of that. So I will no longer have to stand here with everything at nipple level. Ladies and gentlemen, because you've missed it, so make way from the city desk. It's the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour with Tim Riley.
Hello, everyone, from high atop the coin tower in downtown Portland, Oregon. CBS Radio presents the City Desk Newsbeat. Tim Riley reporting our top story. There's more military violence in Iraq. Here's the Battle Watch.
We'll be right back. that no bastard ever won a war by dying for his country. He won it by making the other poor dumb bastard die for his country.
The U.S. military proudly announced today it has launched the biggest air offensive in Iraq since the 2003 invasion to root out insurgents near a town where recent violence raised fears of civil war. Yes, they may have a civil war. Imagine that. Announcement came with media fanfare, lots of hoopla, and a parade just hours after Iraq's parliament held a brief first meeting that did nothing to end a political stalemate over forming a new government.
That's fine. 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Live from beautiful downtown Portland, Oregon. Coming up here in just a few. Coming up here in 10 seconds. Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio is going to join us to talk about Jessica Simpson and George Bush. We got Geek Watch coming up later on. A little bit of Axl Rose news. We do the top five. We got Jen Lane. Your phone calls, more with Tim Riley, et cetera, et cetera, so on and so forth. Ladies and gentlemen, let's clear the floor. The loudest theme ever. Lisa Goddard joining us from CNN Radio. Lisa, how are you?
Good, all right. How are you, Rick?
I'm fine. Oh, God, we're awash in West Wing music here. All right, there we go.
Could be worse.
It's like our third day here. We're still trying to figure out how the board works.
So. And we're both playing it at the same time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
That would explain it. All right. So, I know that you are just up to your eyeballs in Jessica Simpson stories today, right?
You know, it started out that way. There's been some other stories around here floating around. But, yes, Jessica Simpson did hit the Capitol and made a little bit of news anyway.
So, we had this story yesterday. Because if I'm correct about this, that Jessica Simpson, she was supposed to meet with... It's one of those stories that you read two or three times because you're not really sure if your eyes are aligned to you. That Jessica Simpson was going to meet with George Bush about something? Is that...
Yes,
what was supposed to happen?
Okay, she's here for a charity called Operation Smile. A lot of people probably have heard about it. It helps children who have, like, cleft palate or other facial deformities. Anyway, she's in Washington to try and, you know, raise some attention for that. And the Republicans offered for her to get some FaceTime with President Bush at a fundraiser that's happening tonight. Now, initially, she accepted that offer, but I believe yesterday it was that she canceled and said, I think that it's not appropriate, that's a fundraiser, and while I would love to talk to the president about this charity, I think that this is making something political that isn't political, and politely, I would like to decline. Well, Republicans didn't feel like it was so polite to turn down an offer to talk to the president. Some of them raised a little bit of a ruckus about Ms. Simpson, but today at a news conference, she avoided any questions about it. She kind of was whisked away and only spoke about her charity, Operation Smile.
Well, let me ask you this. Of the thoughts that come out of Jessica Simpson's mouth, what percent would you say actually originated in her own brain, and what percent are just given to her by a PR monkey?
I can't even pretend. I don't even know how I would begin to answer.
In your journalistic opinion.
In my journalistic opinion, you know, I think she's a lot smarter than she gets credit for, which I guess isn't saying too much.
Yeah, but the bar is set pretty low there.
I think she's a smart girl that has that lives in Hollywood and sort of acts like it.
Okay, that's fair to see. See how diplomatic yet informative you were? That's why CNN, that's why you guys are the top of the news pile, Lisa.
Oh, that's scary.
Now, is this a thing, like, do you suppose that George Bush was even aware of this? Like, is this the sort of thing that he was aware of, or was it on his plate and then off his plate again before it even crossed his radar?
Well, I'm sure his aide, his very top aide, knew about this, because any time the president's in the news, it goes pretty high up to the chain. But it's hard to say. There's a lot going on in the White House right now, a lot of problems. I can imagine that not having to or not having the chance to talk to Jessica Simpson is pretty low on the list of the president's worries right now. But it is interesting. I think it kind of is symbolic. I don't know who to give credit to this to, but really, a lot of folks just don't trust Washington, whether it's the president or Congress. And I think, you know, Jessica Simpson, a celebrity who normally just, you know, wouldn't even bat an eyelash or two at this kind of opportunity. Now, celebrity handlers are realizing, hey, maybe it's bad for our celebrity to get involved with politicians.
Right.
Maybe we need to steer them clear. I think it really just says a lot about what people in general think of Washington, and I think she and her handlers could be reacting to that.
Yeah, probably. I know George Bush does what he does to sort of, I mean, it's that Dukes of Hazzard demographic sort of thing. I guess he can always get Larry the Cable Guy on or something.
No. Hey, you know, I was a big Dukes of Hazzard fan.
Hey, I got nothing bad to say about the Dukes of Hazzard or about Jessica Simpson for that matter. We're low grade defenders of Jessica Simpson here. All right, Lisa Goddard from CNN Radio. Thank you, Lisa.
Hey, anytime.
All right, there you go. That's Lisa Goddard. All right, it's 503-733-2970. Ladies,
I'm so afraid you're going to scare her away.
I was nice.
I know you were.
You
were getting a little out there for a minute there.
Here's the difference is that before. And we haven't really talked about this, but when we were doing the old show, Matt Peterson was the guy who always booked the CNN guests. And so he would call up and he would book the news, and he had this stock speech that he would give them beforehand, where he would say, now you gotta know this, you gotta know, the show is a little irreverent. And that's the word he would use. The show is a little irreverent. Which is sort of code for, like, don't be thrown off. You know, you just start squawking and making bizarre gibbering noises on the air or whatever. And it never occurred to me when we came here to start doing that. And so and Lisa Goddard we hadn't talked to before Monday. So you never know what they're going to expect. And, you know, so anyway. Here's Tim Riley in the Jonathan 970 newsroom.
Well, rumors that Hollywood sweethearts Angelina Jolie and Brad Pitt could marry on the shores of Lake Como in Italy this weekend have transformed that quaint Italian village into a star-struck gossiping mob. The week-long speculation centers on the lakeside villa of Pitt's friend and fellow actor George Clooney, where the couple are expected to arrive today or tomorrow at the nearby luxury hotel, once the hideaway of stars such as Ava Gardner and Frank Sinatra. We don't have any bookings under their agents' names. Maybe it'll be an intimate celebration, says the spokesman for that hotel. In any case, they're ready to stage a wedding ceremony. Pitt and Julie have not announced any wedding plans as of yet.
Is it going to be, what, her third? Fourth? Who has she been married to? Who's she been
married to? That hot guy from
Billy Bob
Hackers.
Thornton? The hot guy from Hackers.
Yeah, the blonde guy. What's his name? Oh, he was in...
I'm more of a hacker,
too. He was in Train Spotting, too. His sick boy. She was married to him.
I remember that. Yeah, okay.
Never
so
mind.
She was married to some guy, and then she was married to Billy Bob Thornton.
Yes.
And wasn't there somebody else in there? Was there some other star, somebody else that she'd been... Okay, so this would be at least her third marriage that we know of.
But anyway, they're cleaning the village and tidying up everything, and that just doesn't happen any day.
Okay. Whatever, fair enough. Speaking of George Clooney, by the way, I'd like to thank Tim Riley for... Tim agreed to me with a special gift this morning. Tim gave me a brand new still shrink-wrapped DVD copy of Good Night and Good Luck, which you pre-ordered off Amazon.com.
I did, and it arrived sooner than expected.
Graced me with it when I walked into the office this morning, which is fantastic. It's the best film. That's one of those things that we were off the air and we weren't able to talk about, the Academy Awards or just the whole crop of movies that came out. And it was a year of... It was a real mixed bag in the movie year, man, but that was just...
That was the high spot.
It was
a
just
movie
the,
going
it
last
was
year.
The most fantastic film. I was a huge fan of Crash, but man, Good Night and Good Luck was just the most unbelievable film where I had no idea what to expect walking in. It'd been praised. Everybody talked about how great it was, how stylish it was. But I mean, it was a flat out 10 out of 10.
I mean, it sticks to you like a filling meal weeks after seeing it.
Like a what?
A filling meal.
Yes. So, Sarah? Good Night and Good Luck?
Oh,
you haven't seen it?
No.
And I went to the Edward R. Murrow School of Communications.
Oh, that's right. You did.
Yeah.
Where?
His real name was Egbert.
WSU.
Real name was Egbert. Uh-huh. I thought Egbert was the little animated chicken from that Warner Brothers cartoon.
Oh,
the
one
that,
too.
Isn't that the chicken with the glasses, the foghorn, leghorn? He's the son of the widow hen?
Yeah. So does everybody sit on the steps of that place and smoke cigarettes like Edward R. Murrow?
You know, some people did.
So did he go to WSU?
Yeah. He worked in a lumbering camp one summer.
Yeah, in the communications building, they have all kinds of images and old microphones that he used to use.
I'd like one of those.
Oh,
how comfortable would it be to get one of those?
Yeah, seriously.
You know, they're pretty unguarded. I think you can get away with it.
Well, that's the only way you can get. I mean, and every radio guy knows this. That's the only way you can get old radio equipment is to steal it.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy it anywhere because it's all too like. I shouldn't say who it is. I went to the house of a former coworker, who is now employed by. A different radio company.
Which could mean one of several people.
Which could mean one of many, many, many people. But I went to his house because he was cleaning out his vinyl collection. This is a story inside of a story,
Oh, I know
actually.
Who this is now.
Okay. This is, but he, you know who I'm talking about. The, it's not important. But the point is, it was a former co-worker of ours, now works for a different radio company. He sent me an email. He's like, hey, Rick, you know, I'm cleaning up my vinyl collection. I'm keeping some, I'm getting rid of others. You got to come out, because I know you love vinyl. Anything you want, come out and, you know, pick through it. So, and this guy had like 10,000 records, 33s, 45s, because he'd been a jock for a long time. He was on air, and then he moved to another department in radio broadcast. But the point is, when you're a DJ, like anytime there's a multiple copy of anything, I don't know how they do it with music stations. Now, we were looking for a song this morning, and I don't even know if they send radio station CDs anymore.
Probably not.
I think they just send it out to like MP3 or whatever, but, you know, but he was a jock, and so anytime there's a duplicate copy of anything, that goes in your bag. That goes right home, and then it goes to a pawn shop, depending on how much you make. And anytime there's a format change, like anytime your station flips from like country to CHR or CHR to classic rock, the entire music library goes in some guy's duffel bag, and, you know, they do one load at a time. And so it is with this guy's record collection. So I went out there, and when I brought back, like, and he'd already gone through and picked out the stuff he wanted and set all the other stuff aside, and I brought home probably 500 45s from his house. They're all now in my basement because I got rid of my CD collection. I got rid of all that stuff, but my vinyl collection continues to grow. But in his house, he's got this whole shelf of old radio microphones. Like all, and you know those big Sinatra-style microphones from the 50s? It's just like the coolest things ever. And you can't buy those anywhere because they're like 7, 8, 9, 10 grand. And so the only place, if you know a guy who has radio equipment or collects it, the only way you can ever find it is when, like, they're renovating a station or they find some forgotten closet in a building somewhere or, like, you know, they find some basement that everybody forgot existed. That's the only place you can find that stuff. So, so we'll have to go, I'll have to go pay a visit to WSU and look at all that Edward R. Murrow stuff. Because there's nothing cooler than an old microphone. Those old 40s style. Yeah. Here's Tim Riley from the City Desk.
Here's a behind-the-scenes warning. We're going to do some more sound bites.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Well, it's time to talk about kids killing themselves. A very imaginative and find different ways to do it each and every day. It's time to kick off National Inhalements and Poison Prevention Week, even though we're well into the week. Federal officials are warning that more and more young people are doing so-called huffing.
Okay, first of all, anytime you hear, there are two things. Anytime you hear the phrase young people in a story, you know it's from some guy who's 72 years old and who wears a bow tie to work and has no idea what he's talking about.
Nothing but pornography on TV.
Recycling. These are the same, those are the same, but there's no need to work blue on the radio. Anytime you hear young people, and anytime you hear the phrase so-called followed by a word in quotes, for like 10 years, it was the so-called World Wide Web, so-called bloggers, so-called horseless carriages. It's always some guy to know what he's talking about.
Well, more and more young people are doing this so-called huffing.
Oh,
that's the key.
I didn't know.
Huffing is what kids call it when they sniff things like glue, shoe polish, and lighter fluid.
Hey, this is...
You sniff this stuff,
dead,
you get
it?
High.
Peculiar.
But National Inhaling Prevention Coalition Chief Harvey Weiss warns... You could also wind up killing yourself.
We know any time an inhalant is used, it could be a fatal episode.
The experts say it's usually younger teenagers involved with inhalants, 12, 13 years old. Based on 2004 data, federal officials estimate nearly 600,000 teenagers began using inhalants in the past 12 months. Dick Uliano, CNN Washington.
I think it's the same story that they give us every year. Every year, the same story about a kid who starts putting Krylon into a paper bag.
No, when I was in high school... When I lived on Whidbey Island, my neighbor died of huffing.
Right, what was...
He was huffing gasoline. He was like 16 and like, ooh, like gasoline.
You open up the gas tank in your car and...
No, he had like a can. Look, and I don't know.
I don't mean to sound uncaring, but I mean, doesn't everything about gasoline indicate that you probably shouldn't spend a lot of time putting... Like, if you're five, that's one thing. How old was he?
I think... Well, he's dead now, but he's
well,
16.
How old would he have been? He was 16,
he was like
at the
16,
time?
Yeah,
that's 16. Look, anytime, once you start getting into double digits, that's when nature starts taking out the trash and determining who's going to live to reap it. Look, stupid people shouldn't be allowed to have stupid kids of their own. If you are 16 years of age, I mean, you can get married in most states at 16. If you don't understand that something that stings, burns, and catches fire is probably not a thing that you should sit there and put into your lungs over and over again, you are taking up oxygen that could be used by the intelligent among us. So, I mean, I think there really just ought to be big boxes full of this stuff on the corners. These huge, the big cellophane bags and spray paint containers with a sign saying, free, take all you want. And that's just sort of a... nature finding its own level kind of a thing.
Well, let's take Lindsay, a 17-year-old from Indianapolis, for example.
Is this Lindsay in quotes? Is that, like, Lindsay, like, not her real name?
It doesn't say.
All right, well, let's find out.
Well, this person is in drug treatment for inhaling substances. Now, when abusing inhalants, she got an extra high by fooling her unsuspecting parents.
It was cheap, and the best part about it is my parents never knew when I was on it.
Oh, she's a
slut. They could never tell. They could walk into the room, and I could have just got done huffing. I'd just be sitting there like this, just blank, and my parents would know.
It works really well on the radio, too, when she's just sitting here like this. Let's listen to that again.
It was cheap, and the best part about it is my parents never knew when I was on it. They could never tell. They could walk into the room, and I could have just got done huffing. I'd just be sitting there like this, just blank, and my parents would know.
Okay, first of all, Lindsay
got done huffing.
Seriously, Lindsay either huffed something now or has just replaced her huffing habit with like three packs a day of Camel Straight. Secondly,
about the filters.
Lindsay sounds like every girl who works in the promotions department of every radio station. They all sound just like that. You know what I mean? They're all, especially like any sort of a rock station, every girl who works in the promotions department, and they all live somewhere with a stepdad that likes to get a little too close. They all sound it's that great. It's the voice. You can tell. You listen to that voice. Let's listen to the gravelly.
It was cheap, and the best part about it is my parents never knew when I was on it. They could never tell. They could walk into the room, and I could have just got done huffing. I'd just be sitting there like this, just blank, and my parents would know.
That is not a girl who's on the Associated Student Body Council.
No.
All right. Do we have one more here?
Yes, we do. We're going to keep speaking with Lindsay while she's still alive. The 17-year-old from Indianapolis in drug treatment for inhaling abuse. As an inhalant abuser, Lindsay was surprised to find that substances could be found just about anywhere, and her parents didn't even know.
She was amazed.
And I went on from air duster to whipped cream, gas, to ether. And there's so many things out there that I found available anywhere I went.
Where would you even get ether? I don't even know what ether is. All I know about ether is the stuff in that Bugs Bunny cartoon with the mad scientist where the jar breaks and Bugs like floats out and back into his hole.
Yeah, it's something out of the 1930s. The Waltons used to use that when they were in pain.
whenever they had to amputate a leg in the Civil War.
Yeah.
Isn't ether that stuff that you...
Well, if you lose a limb at the sawmill, you need a little ether.
You can really tell where my education has come, by the way, because here's the only two places I know what ether is. I know ether from the Bugs Bunny cartoon with the mad scientist. And it was the mad scientist with a little tiny guy with a huge head.
Mm-hmm.
Looked like he was one of those...
So cartoons do educate.
He looked like one of those kids with the watery head.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about, those kids?
That's that kid with the watery head?
that's not the clinical term. Moving on, the second place I know it is there was this episode of MASH where they ran out of, nitrous? What do they give you? My layers of ignorance are just being peeled away here. So when you go to the hospital and you get they're going to cut you open, what do they give you? Is it nitrous? Anyone?
Nitrous is like laughing gas.
What do they?
I don't know.
They give you something at the hospital where they put the mask on and you go,
oh, that's a...
And then you're under. There was this episode of MASH where they ran out of whatever that stuff was and they had to give the guy ether. And it was like a powder that you sprinkled, they put a cloth mask on the guy,
yeah.
And then they sprinkled, it was like a powder onto it. But then it gave you violent gagging convulsions.
We're all fascinated, but we have no idea what you're talking about.
My point is, I don't even know where Lindsay, if that is her real name, would even get ether. Whatever happened to just,
Well, they're peddling this stuff door to door in the Midwest. Apparently it's playing in Peoria.
A kid at the bowling alley trying to push ether on you. All right, is he going to give you some Bosco, too? Have some chicory. Let's see. Oh, wait, these people. Our audience, of course, knows. Anything that has to do with drug abuse, the Rick Emerson audience will help us. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
Hey, this is Mark. Is Rick trying to say the word anesthesia?
Yeah. I know what the... Okay, look, friend. I know what anesthesia is as a general term. I'm saying, what is the actual drug that they give you at the hospital? What's in the mask?
An anesthetic, isn't it?
Okay, yeah, but an anesthetic isn't the name of a drug. That's just the name of the whole... That's like saying...
You want to know the clinical name.
That's like saying the name of this station is radio.
You want to know the label on the bottle that it comes out of.
It's not really important in the grand scheme of things. I just don't like not
we
knowing
stuff.
We
wasted so much time on this.
Mark, have you ever huffed anything?
I'm a MASH fan, and I'm trying to remember the episode. I know the episode. I'm trying to think. It's not lithium, is it?
No, it's not lithium. We're such retards. No. It's not real. The MASH episode is of tertiary importance here. This show is spiraling out of control already.
Do we have any Green Acres fans out there who remember every episode?
No, I have nothing. Have you ever huffed anything, Mark?
Okay. Thanks a lot.
Turn that radio up louder.
Yeah, whatever you do, be sure to have the radio blaring in the background while we're trying to talk to you. That makes everything go really smoothly. Thanks. Rick Everson Show. Who's this?
This is Pete.
Pete, how can I help you today?
Hey, ether is sold at any auto parts store.
Attention, Lindsay. I'm sorry, ether sold where?
At any auto parts store under starting fluid.
Excellent. How much could I expect to pay for it?
Nope, a couple bucks.
And would that last me a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Excellent.
Cheaper than a beer.
All these kids are heading down to the auto parts store.
I wouldn't know personally. I just know that in automotive, you spray it down a carburetor and make a car light up.
Okay, excellent. Right. Ether, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
Good luck, Rick.
All right, there you go.
So what does it do?
I don't know. Rick Emerson Show, who's this?
This is Ron and Estacada.
Ron and Estacada. Have you
Somebody there should know.
I was either there or St. John's. Do you have huffing knowledge?
No, but I can answer your anesthesiology question.
Okay, thank you. Please do.
Okay, the mashup of soda with sodium pentothal is what they gave him.
I thought sodium pentothal was like the lie detector stuff.
No,
the truth serum.
That's jive.
I guess that's wrong.
Ether is a liquid, and that's what they dumped on the mask. It's a liquid anesthesia.
Now, is that what they gave him?
That's what they went on the rest of the mask. They dumped ether on a mask. It's a liquid.
Okay. All right.
Nowadays, they use a stuff called vecuronium or pancuronium.
Why do you know this?
I went to paramedic school.
Oh, excellent. Are you a paramedic now?
I work as a firefighter for the city of Portland.
Oh, all right. Excellent. Okay, so you're a man who knows things.
I know these kind of things.
All right, great. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it. All right, there you go. Wow. God, you know, sometimes with this show, it's like pulling a thread on a sweater. Tim says, huffing something. Thread. 40 minutes later. All right. Is that the last? Is Lindsay? So let's play this Lindsay cut one more time, so I can.
And I went on from air duster to whipped cream to gas to ether. And there's so many things out there that I found available anywhere I went.
So
what's air duster?
So just so you know, so ether is available for just a few dollars, and apparently it's a fantastic high. And
your parents won't know.
At any auto parts store. Air dusters, that stuff, it's compressed air that is used for cleaning off electronic products and circuit boards, computers.
Oh, we probably have some here.
It looks like a can of WD-40. It's got a little tiny red straw, and you just spray it, and it goes, and it's just it's sterile, compressed air.
Why would you even put that near your face?
Because
you're telling your parents you're cleaning your keyboard.
because you're an idiotic 16-year-old girl who probably has a 25-year-old boyfriend named Snake. That's why. So, all right, let's get one more here. Rick Emerson Show, who's this? Hello.
Right. Yeah, I must have the wrong number.
Who are you trying to call, sir?
Radio station.
Yeah, which one?
Which radio station are you looking for?
Rick Emerson.
Yeah, that's us. Yes, that's us.
That's you, huh?
Yeah.
Am I on the air?
Yes, you are, sir.
All right, well, I was calling about the ether. The ether is actually a starting fluid used in diesel motors, because, you know, they're fired by compression, and so what happens is they spray a little bit of that in there, and that stuff's about as flammable as you can get and still not have it blow up in your face when you spray it out. If you huff it, it'll probably kill you, because it's not like the ether that they use for anesthesia.
It's not your father's ether. Yeah, okay.
Exactly.
All right, what was your name?
My name's Joe.
Joe, thank you.
Uh-huh.
All right, there
you go. Get your starter going.
Let's move on from the ether talk.
We're done with teenagers for now.
Move forward to something else.
Let's talk about deaf beauty queens being hit by trains.
Excellent.
That's always a good topic. Dateline Austin, Texas. Austin police now say the reigning Miss Deaf Texas was killed by a freight train, apparently while text messaging family and friends on her cell phone. 18-year-old Tara Rose McOvey was killed when she walked along a Union Pacific Railroad track in South Austin. Police say she apparently was walking from her family's home to her mother's workplace when she was hit. She was representing Texas at the Miss Deaf America pageant, which was coming up this summer in Palm Desert, California. The train's crew spotted her and sounded the locomotive's horn, but got no response. The lead locomotive snowplow, which extends to... Why do they need a snowplow in Texas?
I have no idea. So, is a snowplow...
Well, like...
That's one of those metal pointed parts, isn't it?
No, yeah. I thought that was a cow catcher.
Same thing.
Okay, well, I'm not going to let this turn into another what is ether, but let's assume for the moment that a snowplow...
That it's painful.
Yeah, you don't want to be hit by that. That's no good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a bad way to go.
Her family never knew her to walk along railroad tracks before. She was a deaf studies instructor at the nation's leading university for the hearing impaired.
Let's hope she didn't pass along such faulty logic to her students.
Well, many people think deaf people can detect approaching trains by the vibrations, but they are mistaken.
Well, how could you not? It's a 75-ton piece of metal. How could you not know it was coming?
Maybe she was walking in the middle of the tracks.
I don't know. All right. Let's see. We've got this from Aaron. Geek in the City says, Rick, not that I would know. However, I have been told there's nothing better than ether with an absinthe chaser while watching Pink Floyd's The Wall. That's what I've been told by someone who is not me, Aaron Geek in the City. Okay, the Rick Emerson Show does not... We're not role models. Don't do anything like that. You were the one, though, Tim, that used to huff Pam. Isn't that right?
No, some of my coworkers did.
It wasn't you?
No, it was not me.
Okay.
I was busy building Clorox displays that fell on people's fur coats.
I don't even know what that means. All right.
You build these displays, they go up to the ceiling or whatever product is on sale.
It seems like Pam is the worst possible thing you could huff, though. Because then you get that whole non-stick coating.
Well, this was in the 70s when there wasn't very much available. And kids weren't as imaginative back then.
Okay. Here's Tim Riley at the City Desk.
Time now for the penis watch.
Take a look at my enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting away. Take a look at my enormous penis. And everything is going my way.
And this comes to us from the country known as Myanmar. Wherever that is.
It's that place who sends me all that crap, but they want to put stuff in my bank account for a week.
This woman's name is Finn Sander. She is a chicken sitter. Or make that a chicken seller in this country. She's always dreamed of being a man, as many women have there. When she inexplicably grew a penis last month, a 21-year-old...
I like how they have to... Wait, this is the best part. She's a woman... And they have to add that she inexplicably grew a penis.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they have to note somehow that it's surprising and not the sort of thing you would just anticipate happening as a regular course of life.
The 21-year-old treated it as an awe-inspiring omen, as have thousands of stunned villagers who have traveled to see it.
Okay.
On the morning of the full moon,
all right.
I noticed my thing was not the same as before, said Thin Sander, who now goes by the male name Than Sander. And my breast disappeared, said she. So I called out to the people of the village and showed it to my mom and dad. It was all very strange.
I showed it to your mom and dad. You thought talking about sex at 16 was awkward with your Mom, I can't find my breast, and I've grown a penis.
Mikey, you didn't call the neighborhood minister.
I'm going to miss the bus. You're going to have to take me to school today.
Strange enough that he has attracted significant attention in his deeply superstitious country. She is now a he. Where the unexplained can quickly be exalted to hold powerful spiritual significance. People privately concede that there are several medical experts who have examined him, and he awaits test results from the Central Women's Hospital. But few have come forward with a medical explanation of the transformation, as they await an official report by the health ministry, whose experts have also examined this man or woman.
All right.
We cannot say right now if she has really undergone a sudden gender change, said a township official who declined to be named.
It seems like that's kind of a binary proposition. One has either grown a penis or one.
Adding that her birth certificate says she was born as a girl.
All right.
But she is quoted as saying, I am so happy.
And why wouldn't you be? There's your penis watch
Take
for
Take a
her.
Look Thank at you. My enormous penis. And my troubles start a melting
so
away.
So deeply ashamed of this program.
My thing was good.
And my breasts were gone.
Penis. And everything
you gotta lock everything up at night
way.
In some of these third world countries. I mean, they are trafficking body parts. Right here in the USA.
Oh,
you don't
God.
Have to be Alistair Cook to be missing things.
Oh, man. Rick, so glad to hear you back on the air. Love you and Sarah and Tim. I guess your unemployment ran out. Ha ha.
It's true. It did.
I heard something.
There's nothing funny about that. It was not a ha ha when I received that letter saying it ran out right before Christmas.
Did you get the notice saying you could reapply?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I got, which would, of course, would have been turned down, though. There's that whole thing. Like, I would have been eligible again in April, they said. But then,
if you went back to work for cents on the dollar.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind then. I heard something this morning about Anna Nicole Smith getting married. And she's very happy. Do you have any accurate information, unlike the Will Ferrell info?
It could have been a paragliding incident.
Keep us informed, Susan in Southeast. Does anybody know if Anna Nicole Smith got married?
I don't think it's true. We would have heard something by now.
All right. And then this email. This is the next email. Rick, see, You know what's great about this program is that the listeners have a very finely tuned sense of what sort of things appeal to the Rick Emerson sensibility. So we get Anna Nicole Smith getting married, and then this is the follow-up email. Rick, click here. Spanish doctors cut 60-kilogram tumor from woman with picture.
Oh, yeah, I read that this morning.
Thank you. So there we go. Let's do that. Let's do one more story. Then we will break.
Mm-hmm.
Then we will come back, and we'll do a little recap of some of the things that happened to us. I'm going to try to get all of this stuff wrapped up this week, so there's another constantly unfolding things. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about some of the things that happened to us when we were off the air, things that we would have made much grist out of that we did not get a chance to. We'll also do the top five next hour, and we have Ed McCarthy next hour. Ed,
yes.
McCarthy's going to talk about the child brides in Georgia, and later on, Jen Lane from Barfly Magazine will be here. This is Jim Riley.
The government has proposed a fine of $3.6 million against CBS, nothing that we did, and dozens of its stations and affiliates in a crackdown of what regulators called indecent television programming. The FCC said that a network program entitled Without a Trace that aired in December 2004 was indecent. It called the graphic depiction of teenage boys and girls participating in a sexual orgy unacceptable.
What show was this? CBS doesn't air teen orgies.
No, I don't think so. The name of the program, Without a Trace.
What is Without a Trace?
I think it's the missing kids show.
After school specials.
Okay. And it was a teen orgy?
Yeah.
Excellent.
An alleged one.
All right. Fantastic. That's that. All right. Let's take a break here. Jesus. We'll try to regain some semblance of composure.
Take a little ether.
Yes. Yes. We'll come back. We'll talk about some of the things that happened. We were off the air. We'll talk to Ed McCarthy from CNN Radio. And we'll talk about we'll talk to Jen Lane later on as well. We will get that fact accomplished today, and we'll do the top five worst songs I found in my box of firing crap from Entercom. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show. We are live from Portland, Oregon, right here on Johnson 970. It's 503-733-2970. You stay there. Back in a minute.
Down the alleyway, high swagger move. Hit off all fans, sunlight a scream. You should have heard just what I seen. Ooh.